Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, as we've been hearing, around midday, Buckingham Palace announced the death of Prince Philip at the age of 99. Although he made 56 official visits to Northern Ireland, his first official trip to the Republic of Ireland didn't come until 1998. It was said to be the highest-ranking royal visit to the Republic since King George V and Queen Mary in 1911. Well, I've been speaking to one of the guests at that event, then Taoiseach Bertie Ahern, and I began by asking him whether there was a long build-up to the visit.
There wasn't really, but I think it was its own bit of history, because he was very interested in the government buildings, because that was built in their time. And of course, he knew all the history of the people that were, when that was actually opened. I remember we showed him some of the records that were in government buildings of the opening, I think back in 1904 or 1905. But he was very knowledgeable about all of that. But I think he was proud of the fact that he was the senior royal coming at that stage, after all of the years of the conflict. The Good Friday Agreement obviously had set the scene for him to be able to come over on that visit. Mm. And he was very, I think, you know, his knowledge of Ireland was good, because, you know, through the Mountbatten connection, they had a lot of knowledge of the country, and he stayed quite a long time with me, I remember, and he was very open about talking about the history and the connections and the family, and he also spoke about his own days back in the Navy. He told me this was the first time he was here since he was a very young man.
And he mentioned Lord Mountbatten. Did he tell you how he felt about that, or what did he say about it?
Yeah, funny, he was not bitter. I mean, I was waiting for that, and I think I might have raised it, and I think I conveyed to him, you know, how people felt about that. I recall that it was the first time around then that the tourist trade back in Mullaghmore was opening up again, and that the hotel that had really been devastated from their business because of the events when Lord Mountbatten was murdered. And we talked about that, and of course he gave me a lot of the history. I wasn't aware of the history of the Mountbattens, other than what I'd seen on TV programs. But he recalled all of that. He was not obviously upset about it, but certainly wasn't. I didn't get the feeling of a man who was bitter or holding any of that bitterness against us.
I spotted in the New York Times about that particular visit that they described it as a gesture that was intended to advance the Northern Ireland peace effort. That's why he was visiting Northern Ireland and the Irish Republic. I don't know, did he talk to you about that, or what was your sense of his understanding of the problem on the island of Ireland?
Just after the Good Friday Agreement, I was in Buckingham Palace, where I was seated because of the agreement beside the Queen. And we had, at that lunch, it was the only time I really had a long discussion with her, but whatever it was, a half an hour, 40 minutes, where she spoke about the Good Friday Agreement. It was only shortly afterwards. And, I mean, she was very hopeful at that stage that it would change the relationship. And obviously his visit was the start of that. Yeah. And Prince Charles came not long after that. So he understood Ireland. He understood the division of Ireland and the difficulties that were involved in trying to negotiate the Good Friday Agreement. And he was probably brief for the meeting with me, but he had a good sense of it and a good understanding of what we were trying to do and to build a new relationship.
Okay, so then he visited, as I say, in 1998. That was the first time in a very long time that he had visited the island of Ireland, or the Republic, rather.
Yeah.
You met him a couple of times, I believe, after that.
I did, yeah. I during the EU presidency, one of the things that the British government used to do is have a meeting with the royal family. So I think on two further occasions, I had the had the pleasure of meeting him, and he had recalled his Dublin visit. And of course, I met him in 2011 then, but I wasn't talking to him at any great length then. In my visits or my conversations with him, and with the royal family generally, there were always people who were not charging in and charging out. They were prepared to sit there and talk and debate. In fairness to them, and I think as the Duke of Edinburgh, it struck me that like he had knowledge of the award scheme, he knew about the Gashka, he knew about the connection. So I take it that you'd be for those things, but at least he had without using any notes, he was able to chat about them. So I never got the sense that he was a person who was, you know, giving it the sharp end of his tongue and things. I had quite friendly discussions with him, and I think on five occasions that I met him.
And just sort of on that point, like, we've seen an awful lot with Harry and Meghan, and the big interview with Oprah and all of that, a lot of debate about the royal family being out of touch or not. You know, you spent an awful lot of time, really, comparative to most people, with this man. Did you get a sense, you know, that he just, like, he might be very into his history and understand a lot that was very relevant to him specifically, but that he was maybe out of touch with the wider world?
Yeah, I think I remember on one of the EU meetings when the whole royal family were all there together. You would feel that they're fairly aloof people, with the exception of Princess Anne. Princess Anne, because of her interest in sport and particularly horses and her involvement in the Olympic Council, like, she was to Ireland umpteen times, even in difficult times. And I think all of the rest of them, I suppose, if you're living all your life in castles and in huge estates, and it's probably impossible not to get aloof and withdrawn from it, and the real world is probably something you find difficult to get. Though I know from, you know, listening to British officials over the years, the Queen Elizabeth insists in not just getting one page briefings. I mean, she's a very, even for a lady of her age, she is extremely well briefed. I'm not sure the Duke of Edinburgh was to the same extent. He probably did for meetings. He was meeting me, obviously. He'd gone through whatever documents he had and then his own history. But I think it's almost impossible for them to be grounded as the rest of us. It's not like politicians in the normal world where you're out and about every day meeting people.
Okay. Bertie, just very quickly before we let you go, I might ask you, I know you've been speaking about it this week already, developments in Northern Ireland and the unrest and rioting that we've seen there. Another night of it again last night, and a lot of debate about how do we calm things down and avert anything very serious happening. I'm just wondering, do you have any further thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the statement today from the loyalist groups, that's UBF, UDA and the Red Hand Commandos. They're people that I dealt with for many years, and I think they are coming out now calling for restraint and saying they're political issues to deal with. But, you know, I think, Sarah, we have to understand that there is a problem with loyalism in particular. They do feel they haven't got a fair deal from anybody, whether it's EU, British government, our government. And I've pointed out a number of times that there are issues to be addressed, and they can't be addressed through violence. But on this, the eve of the anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, I think people should again consult the document and see that within the document there are mechanisms for dealing with these things. And I do fear that a quarter of a century nearly on, that people, and particularly people who are involved, and, you know, don't altogether understand what those mechanisms that are part of the Good Friday Agreement that we need to use for resolution. And that's not to abandon the protocol. That's not the issue. I think the Good Friday Agreement and the protocol have to be looked at to see if we can deal with these issues. And I believe that it's possible to do that. But it won't happen up in the air. It has to happen at the negotiating table.
And that was former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern speaking to me a little earlier on. Now,